Number 41, if you feel like standing, let's stand as we sing this. Number 41, marching on. Captain Johnson, this is an old Salvation Army song. That's where this came from. Okay. Marching on in the light of God. Marching on, I am marching on. Up the path that the Master trod. Marching, marching.
Someday on thee I'll stand. think it's very interesting to see that he gives a description of himself as the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. That's what it says in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. In that he said unto the churches, that tells me that the book of Revelation is for the believer in the church age. That's who it is for. And it's going to lead right into the next verse where it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. The bride, I believe, is none other than the church of Jesus Christ. Started on the day of Pentecost, and as far as its existence on earth, it will end at the rapture of the church. That day in which all those who have been saved since the day of Pentecost will be raised up and have died, will be raised up from the grave, and they'll meet the Lord in the air first. And their resurrected bodies will be changed from corruption and mortality to immortality and unto uncorruption. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. And as we go up, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that this subject of the rapture of the church is talked about less and less today, because I think that a lot of believers have given up the hope of the rapture of the church. And they have taken on the message of the kingdom and to establish a kingdom here on earth. And almost as if to say, if we can get this thing straightened out, that the Lord would come back and kind of take it over. And the rapture theme and preaching has fallen by the wayside in many of the Christian circles today. In fact, many of the groups out there that I wouldn't even agree with today, but at least back in the 60s and 70s, even they, the Pentecostals and the Charismatics, talked about it incessantly. They talked about the coming of the Lord and the rapture. We're going up to be with the Lord and so forth. Today, you don't hear them talking about it too much. It kind of has been put on the back burner. But this one who is the root and the offspring of David says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I'd like to spend time on this here tonight. The description of the Lord Jesus Christ is he's the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. I believe the bright and morning star is a reference to the coming of the Lord for the church. And then what's the response in verse 17? I see there's a response to all this description of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of his coming again for the church. The response is a response of the church. You see, the Spirit and the bride are saying something. Now, the church is indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Actually, the Holy Spirit is that same one who hindereth right now the Antichrist, the man of sin, from coming on the scene. When the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit of God will be gone in its ministry as we know it now, because the church will have been lifted right up out of this world and gone to be with the Lord up in heaven. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit as he's working right now in the hearts of people through the church will be over. And then I believe it'll go back to the same kind of ministry the Holy Spirit had before the church was in existence. And he'll work on the nation of Israel. There is going to be 144,000 Jewish men, virgin men, who are going to go forth with the gospel preaching during the tribulation time. And a great host of people are going to get saved during the tribulation time. Now, when I say a great host, that doesn't mean most of the world's going to get saved. Most of the world's going to stay lost. But out of that great number of people on the face of the earth, there is going to be a great host of people who get saved during the tribulation time. In fact, that host may be greater than all that have been saved during the church age. It's going to be a great outpouring of of the Word of God and the Spirit of God working in people's hearts to get saved. But many of them are going to pay with their life to trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But here we see the Spirit and the Bride saying something, and they say, come. And so what we see here, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. The Spirit's work to prepare us for the Bridegroom. Go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. This is the same writer of the book of Revelation, is the one who wrote the book of John. John chapter 16 and verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now this is the Lord speaking before the cross, before He died and was buried and rose again and ascended back to heaven. He tells us what the Spirit of God will do when He finally comes on the day of Pentecost. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, day of Pentecost, all right, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does with the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He teaches the bride all about the coming Bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Spirit's work is to do right now. One of the works of the Spirit to do. Go down to verse 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. I'm glad for those words, those parting words of the Lord Jesus Christ before He left this earth and went back to heaven. He says, ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. These are promises right out of God's Word that we all will be seeing Jesus again. And there are many other references we could add to that, that the church is going to see Jesus again. And He will come as a Bridegroom for His bride. I'd like to take you to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 24, and I'd like you all to go there if you would, just to follow along in what we're going to say here. We have, I believe, a most beautiful picture in the Old Testament of the Spirit teaching the bride about her coming husband. This is an Old Testament story. I believe it a real story, of course. But I, being alive during this church age, when I read this passage of Scripture, I can't help but see the Lord and His church with the Holy Spirit of God working to teach us all about the coming Bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. The story in Genesis is Abraham finding a wife for his son Isaac. And Sarah has already died, the mother of Isaac. And so Isaac was kind of in sorrow about that. And I can say that based upon verse 67, which I'll read right now. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And you know what? When the Lord comes for us, we are going to be comforted. Wherefore, comfort ye one another with these words, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which is the main passage that we use for the rapture of the church. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words, just as Isaac was comforted when he took Rebekah into the tent. Well, the story goes this way in Genesis chapter 24, verse 1. And Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant. Now, I believe the eldest servant is a type of the Holy Spirit of God today. Okay? And Abraham, of course, would equate to the Father up in heaven. And Isaac would equate to the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And I believe Rebekah in the story would equate to you and me, the church, the bride of Christ. And so it says, "And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." And you know, the Holy Spirit rules over everything God has right now in the church age. For right now, He is our teacher. He is the one who would tell us all about the Father and all about the Son. For the Son is not here and the Father's not here. They're up there in heaven. But we have a comforter and we have a teacher. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And so it goes on, verse 3, "And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell." You know what, folks? The church is to be a separated people unto God, not yoking up together with the Canaanites of our world, okay? We're to be separate, holy saints of the Lord Jesus Christ. A chaste virgin is what we need to be as we wait for the bridegroom to come. And so in the verses that follow, he instructs his servant to go back to the country where his kindred are, and that would be where his brother, Abraham's brother, would be, and that he would take a wife from the family of his brother and bring her back to be wedded to Isaac. You know, the Holy Spirit of God, you know what he's doing today? He's doing just that. He's gathering out of all people a people for his name. And he's gathering the bride together to present her to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing right now. And if you're saved and part of the church today, and you know, if you're saved, you are a part of the church today. It was the Holy Spirit of God who wooed you to Christ. It's He who works in your heart. Now, I know maybe a preacher was preaching and you heard the gospel message in a service. Maybe somebody came up to you with a gospel tract and gave you the blessed gospel message of salvation. You read it and your eyes were open and you trusted Christ as Savior. Or maybe it was a family member or someone who talked to you about the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, it's the Holy Spirit of God behind all those people who was working to bring the news to you that there is someone in heaven who loves you and actually died for you and gave his life and shed his blood to wash away all your sins. And he wants to make you a part of his bride, the bride of Christ. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be saved and to know all these beautiful things. Verse 6, "And Abram said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again." You need to accomplish this goal. So in verse 7, "The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me and that swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence." Well, the servant took 10 camels down there in verse 10, camels of his master, departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. You know, didn't we just read that the Lord said when the Spirit of God comes, he will teach you all things. And he shall glorify me. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. I do believe it's error to teach that the Holy Spirit is to be the focal point. I don't believe the Holy Spirit is to be the focal point. And many in the charismatic and Pentecostal movement today, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit of God all the time, when the Holy Spirit of God would rather sit in the background and teach us and give us pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. That's His job. To glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Not to glorify himself. Not to glorify his gifts that he does through us and so forth. It's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's his primary function. Not only to convict the lost of their sin, their need of a Savior, but to teach the bride all about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there's anything wrong with believers wanting to hear more about Jesus. Tell me more about him. teach me more of who He is and what He is. I'm glad that the Lord in the book of Revelation there said, when He described Himself to John, He described Himself this way. All right, that tree is going to be okay. All right. He described Himself this way. I am the root and the offspring of David. And boy, that just tells it all. That tells everything about who Jesus Christ is. And right on the heels of that, what do we see? And the Spirit and the Bride say something. The Spirit and the Bride. All right. Well, here this servant has all his master's goods in his hand, and he arose and went on to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down there at the well, and he was preparing to get water out of the well. And he prays this prayer. Verse 12, and he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. You know, that's just a little good example of your prayer life with the Lord up in heaven. Many times you start praying and asking for things. Do you not think or believe that the Father up in heaven already knows what your concerns are? And that even before you're done praying, He can begin to start answering that prayer. It came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her. Folks, that's the church. He has cleansed. I'm going to take you there. Would you go with me to Ephesians chapter 5? I want you to see it right out of the scriptures. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 25, where the instruction is to husbands to love their wives. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I like the story back here when it says that the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted, let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. You know, that's no small chore. Camels drink a lot of water, for they store it up and get it ready for their long trip over desert lands and so forth. So that was no small matter. This whole thing was of God. This was God working through the Holy Spirit, well, through the servant and so forth. But I'm just trying to get you to see it's a picture of the church. You know, you got saved because God worked in your heart and life. Now, I'm not teaching Calvinism teaching and doctrine here, but I'm going to tell you one thing. Your getting saved was no new matter to the Lord. He knew all about you. He knew from eternity past that the day would come you would trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you would do that on your own, willingly, of your own will, trusting the Lord as your personal Savior. But don't think the Lord doesn't know you better than you know yourself. He knows you. And this is just such a beautiful thing. God has been calling out from all people, a people for His name. And He's concerned about those people as a body of believers, as we call it. We call it the bride of Christ as well. He wants her to be chaste, a virgin. And she ought to want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And here she is serving here. She hasted, emptied her pitcher in a trough, ran again under the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And of course, he knew that his prayer was answered. This damsel was the damsel, the woman, the bride for his master's son, Isaac. He knew that. And so he gives her some jewels and so forth, and eventually she invites him to come to their house and stay there. And he meets Rebekah's brother, Laban, and they get to know each other and everything. And they bring him into the home, and they set provision there for them, and they set meat out before them, and they were getting ready to eat. And verse 33, and there was set meat before him to eat, before the servant of Abraham's. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly. And he has become great, and hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. See, this is the Spirit of God teaching us all things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he's talking to Rebekah's family all about his master's son. And the Holy Spirit today, through the church, is telling all about the master's son up in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 36, and Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife from my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well and said, O Lord God, thou do prosper my way which I go. Behold, I stand by the well of water. It shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, both drink thou, and I will also draw for my thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Now, keep in mind, her family is listening to all these words. They're listening. You can be sure that they're thinking, how can this be? How can this be? And she made haste, let down her pitcher from her shoulder, and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel and Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master brother's daughter unto his son. You know, the Holy Spirit of God is even better than this servant. He knows how to bring the bride together unto the master's son. He knows how to do it. Verse 49, "And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good." You know what? This whole work of the Holy Spirit to bring the bride together for the Lord Jesus Christ is a working of the Lord. It's a working of the Lord. And we as the bride ought to be singing songs and hymns which tell that story. And we should be more than willing to speak and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a work of the Lord. He has done a great work in our hearts. Just think of how He saved your lost soul. Took you out from among all the heathen. Okay, and gave you the gospel. You heard the gospel. You received the gospel by faith. Repented of your sins. Trusted Christ as your Savior. And now you're a part of the bride of Christ. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a great thing? Then Laban and Bethuel answered, "The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. This is the Holy Spirit teaching us all things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning and said, "Send me away unto my master." And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10. After that she shall go." Well, hold on, Mr. Servant, Abraham's servant. Let us have her with us for a few more days. Then we'll let her go. Verse 56. He said unto them, "Hinder me not." You know what, folks? We're going to go without a moment's notice. Okay, we're going to go. And we're going to leave this world. There's not going to be any time when the rapture time comes for us to clean up things, take care of things. It's all going to be done. What you've done for Christ will be past and finished. We're going to be caught up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this servant here, he has no intention of waiting around. We need to go right away. You know what? I believe we need to have the same type of attitude. We could go at any time. We could leave this world behind at any moment. And so we ought to live every day, every hour, every moment, as if we could be caught up out of here without even a moment's notice. Because it's going to be in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be caught up out of here. And we'll be changed. And we'll be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. And it could happen at any time. "Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master." And they said, "We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth." All right? How does the church feel about this? Oh, I'm afraid that the church does not have the same attitude as Rebekah had here. And we really ought to have the same attitude. "Lord, you could come today. Even so come, Lord Jesus." That's what John is going to end the book of Revelation with. "Behold, I come quickly," Jesus says. And the answer back from John, I believe representing us, is, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." Come quickly. Even so come. What's the answer here? And they sent away, and they called Rebekah, verse 58, said unto her, "Wilt thou go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." You know what? That needs to be our answer too. I will go. I'm looking forward to going. May it happen today. It couldn't come any sooner, right? Oh, Lord, we're looking forward to the day when we're caught up home to be with You. The unclouded day we sing about. We enjoy singing that song. The unclouded sky. We're going home any day now. Verse 59. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. And of course she has become that. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And you know, someday things are going to be turned around so that Israel will be well received. Right now they're not. They're hated, but they will be well received someday. Verse 61. And Rebekah arose, and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. You know, that's what we need to do. The church needs to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. He's the one leading. He's the one teaching us. And we need to be like Rebekah here. They rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac, Isaac, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ coming for his bride. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi. Lahairoi means this, the well of the living one who beholds me. The well of the living one who beholds me. And he came from that well, the living one who beholds me. You can be sure God was watching over this whole situation. Watching over the servant, watching over Rebekah. Allowing the family to let her go. And now they're traveling home. And now Isaac's coming out at the very same time when she's coming to arrive together to meet the Lord in the air, you know? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we're seeing here. Isaac and Rebekah coming together here with the Holy Spirit of God leading the way and teaching all about Isaac. And so verse 62, and Isaac came from the way of the well Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. She got down off of the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. Do you see the teaching work of the Holy Spirit to prepare us for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what? I want to know all about Jesus, for I'm going to see Him someday soon. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ in person. I've never had my eyes look upon Him. But you know what? He's the most important person in my whole life. He's everything to me. Well, how can you talk like that? It almost talks like the love between a man and his wife. Because the Holy Spirit of God has been teaching me ever since I've been 10 years old when I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He's been teaching me more about Jesus. More about the Savior I would ever learn. And you know what? I have not even scratched the surface of knowing who my Savior is. I haven't even scratched the surface yet. The depths of all the blessedness of who my Savior Jesus Christ is, it will take all eternity to learn. I'm looking forward to it. But in the meantime, would you tell me more about my Savior? I'm looking forward to seeing Him someday. And I want to be able to identify Him when He comes. Looking forward to that. The servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Wow. We are going to be comforted in that day when we meet the Lord in the air, in the midst of the air. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. I don't know that there's any more beautiful story. Maybe Ruth and Boaz might set up there on the top of great stories in the Bible. But I just love that story of Rebecca and Isaac coming together. Beautiful picture of us, the church, coming together with Christ. But what does it say in verse 17? And the Spirit and the bride, whom I hope you know who it is now, say, come. That's our job, folks, to say to people, come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You know, the bride is interested in the Lord's coming, for sure. And the bride is saying, through the power of the Holy Spirit, come and learn of the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Him as your personal Savior. Take the water of life freely. Then the next thing it says, and let him that heareth say, come. He that heareth say, come. You know, he who is acquainted and informed of Christ's redemption, redemption lies in his coming for us as well. The effectual hearing brings forth fervent, loving desire and a prayer for Christ to fulfill all his plan and purposes of grace. And let him that heareth, oh, those of you who are listening and hear all that the Spirit is teaching us about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we say when we're all done? People need to come to this one. You need to come to this bridegroom. You need to get to know this bridegroom. Come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. He that heareth and hears the word and the preaching of the word, he says, come. Come to Christ. And then the next one, and let him that is athirst come. He that is athirst, he that thirsts for return, for that eternal water of life without money or price. Look over there at Revelation 22, verse 1 and 2. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of it, of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there a tree of life which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And let him that is athirst say, thirst, come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Once you do that and take the water of life freely, you come into fellowship with the great company awaiting the Lord's return, the bridegroom's return. You know, that's what you've all done. You've often heard me say, you ought to become a member of a good old-fashioned Bible-believing church. And if you're saved and baptized, you ought to become a member of a good local church in your area that's serving the Lord and preaching the Word. And the reason why I'm saying that is because when you get saved, you become a part of a family, part of the bride, part of the body of Christ, part of the bride of Christ that's waiting for the Lord to come back. Most evangelism today ignores this theme. Because the lost are not so interested in any coming of the Lord at any time soon. Especially to change things as they are. They would rather, they want a little religion, but they want things to stay the same. They want to stay in their sin. And yet have some kind of maybe a little bit of assurance that they might be all right with God. And so they pay attention to religion just a little bit. We need to tell them the Lord's coming and He's going to change everything. This world is not going to stay the same way it is. And look at the bride, what He's done to these people who have become born again, saved, have repented and trusted Christ as Savior. Look at them. They're different. They are like pilgrims and strangers in this land. It's like as if they don't even belong here. They talk about a place up in heaven that they're going to. Amen. Amen. We have a different country. And we have a coming bridegroom for us at any moment. And we're going to be gone out of this world. So the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Doesn't say the elect there either, does it? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus is the water of life. Remember, he talked to the woman at the well and he told her, if you drink of the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Give me this water that I don't have to come to this well anymore, she says. But you know what he said? Go call your husband. She had five husbands. And the Lord had to reckon with her sin first. She had to come to terms with the fact that she's a sinner. And whoever this man is knows all about me. How does he know I have five husbands? Or had five husbands? How does he know I'm a wicked woman? How does he know I'm thirsty for the water of life? She called him Lord, and she put her pitcher down, and she ran back into the city to tell everybody about this one who knows everything about her. She called him Lord. I believe she got saved. I believe she drank of that water, of which she'll never thirst for water again. And here we come to the very last words of the Bible. And what does the Lord say? That the Spirit and the bride ought to be telling the world of this water of life and inviting them, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let me ask you a question, folks. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When was the last time? Or has it been a long time? Have you been keeping this to yourself? Don't do that. Don't do that. We're going home at any moment. And we need to tell people about our Savior Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm afraid. The Holy Spirit of God who lives within you will help you say what you need to say. If you start your day out yielded to Him, He'll help you to be a witness for Him today and tomorrow. Let's do it. Let's not be afraid. Let's be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the beautiful stories in the Word of God of our Savior and His bride, the church. That's us. Yes, we do look forward to that day when He'll come for us. We'll jump off our camels too. We'll be looking forward to that day to be with Him. But Lord, in the time that we have between now and that day, the rapture, help us to be a witness and call people to come under the water of life and take of it freely. It doesn't cost anything except what Jesus Christ had to do on the cross for us. Help us to share this good news with people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, on your way out, why don't you pick up some tracts? And ask the Lord to help you be a witness this week. Just take a few. I'm not going to challenge you with an impossible thing. Grab a few tracts and say, Lord, help me. Help me to give these out this week. Help me to put them in a good spot that would be seen. And be a witness for the Lord, okay? Why don't you do that on your way out tonight? All right, you're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night. Prayer meeting, Bible study, 7:00. All right.